Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. Today is June 21st, 2026. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and may you have a great Father's Day. I know that being a father is the greatest job that I've ever had, and it gets better and better as the kids become adults and age. It's a common conversation amongst friends about just how enjoyable fatherhood continues to be and rewarding. This week, we had a flood of data and information from fundraising reports in the governor's race and other statewide races to polls. The Minneapolis or Minnesota Star Tribune Care 11 poll, the KSTP Survey USA poll. We started to get a real snapshot, a real picture of what these races look like in Minnesota. And this week was also a week where it's becoming more common where I just have a lot of events. And Tuesday night, Principals First, a center-right, more conservative organization, hosted a couple panels, and I was invited to have a conversation with Charlie Sykes about polarization and populism in the Midwest. And Charlie's somebody I've admired his ability to call it like he sees it for a number of years. And that conversation sparked the interest in this show this week. And that really struck me that the idea that people, as shown in every poll, are frustrated with the parties, and that party over principle or party over constituency has become the norm in Minnesota. I know that we can talk about other places, but this show is about Minnesota politics. And one of the reasons why parties are able to behave like they have in Minnesota the last several years is because there is not a strong independence party. There is not a strong third party, which is remarkable considering just 28 years ago, we elected Jesse Ventura at another point in time in our state where voters were frustrated by Democrats and Republicans. And so when the mood of Minnesota and the country is what it is right now, when the polarization exists, and also this idea that where are we finding good candidates, candidates who are willing to have a vibrant debate, an open debate, where they wrap themselves in bubble wrap, as I like to say, to protect themselves as candidates, to not be engaged, to use their own social media, which they should do, to communicate, but they've done that at the expense of engaging with the voters who are actually not the ones who watch social media or watch public television or listen to public radio on a daily basis. And the absence of those strong third parties with the bubble wrap of the existing parties says to me that we should amplify some of those people who have the courage to put their name on the ballot. And so we're going to talk to two candidates this week who are not a Democrat or a Republican. We're going to talk to Chip Tangen, who's running for Secretary of State as a Libertarian. And we're going to talk to Jay Reeves, who's running for State Auditor as a Forward Independence Party member. Why are they running? What is their view differently than the major party candidates? These are long shot campaigns, but let's take a week. Let's have this discussion and let's continue to realize that both parties are not answering. And so the option and making options easier on the ballot is probably a better move for democracy than isolating the third parties off the ballot. I'm Blaise Olson. When we come back, Chip Tangen, Libertarian for Secretary of State, on why he's running, who he is, and what his view would be if he's Secretary of State. We'll be right back. We're back on Sunday Take. As I mentioned in the open, you know, this week, we're going to talk about third parties. And in this era where trust is crashed and trust in institutions and the two major parties has major question marks. This week, I was struck by two candidates. The first one joins me now, Chip Tangen. He's running for Secretary of State. He's running as a Libertarian. Chip, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Thank you for having me, Blois, and happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Say, let's just start with, A, who are you and why do you want to be Secretary of State of Minnesota?
Sure. So I am, I'm 62 years old, and I only point that out because I've had a long career. I grew up in a family that talked about civics and, you know, just current affairs at the dinner table. And so I've always been interested in government and the people involved in government. And so I began my career in politics. I worked for some various campaigns. My first real job was working for Congressman Jim Ramstead in Washington when he was first elected. I worked on his campaign and then followed him out there. I was his legislative counsel for the Judiciary Committee and had an absolute blast working on those issues. And, you know, I learned from Jim the importance of working across the lines, not just because it's the right thing to do, but it's the way you get things done. And at the time, the Republican Party was the minority party in Washington and it had been for decades. And so he worked with the Democrats on a major crime bill that they were working on at the time. And Jim got some important legislation passed because he just worked with them.
One of the things, so you started as a Republican there, you're now running as a Libertarian. You and I met in person this week at a Principal's First event. Talk about why you chose the Libertarian Party.
Good question. I left the Republican Party 10 years ago, and I realized that I was constantly disappointed with, you know, who was the nominee. After Rand Paul left the presidential ranks that year, I saw the other 10 who were still around and didn't like any of them. The Libertarian Party had a caucus announcement for on the same night as the Democrats and the Republicans, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go hang with them, and I haven't looked back since. If there are two issues that resonate with me for why I'm a Libertarian and no longer a Republican, or a Democrat for that matter, it's the national debt. You know, we're currently at $39 trillion, and it'll be $40 trillion within a few months, I'm guessing, if trends continue. And the other is the stupid wars. I'm against our military adventurism, and it also relates to spending. We're wasting a ton of money on that, and I don't think either party has adequately addressed those two issues. And the Libertarian Party is the party of principle. We know you have to work in coalitions to get things done.
When I was in college, I debated my professor about libertarianism a couple times. And it always kind of came down to this idea that, you know, there are certain functions in government that, you know, libertarians say, well, that's extra or there. Are there certain functions in government that you believe we need to make sure that we do really well from a libertarian perspective?
Well, certainly our courts system, we need to adjudicate disputes. You know, we're the party that says you shouldn't hurt people or take their stuff. Well, what do you do when that happens? There has to be a mechanism to deal with those disputes. You know, national defense is something, but it's defense. It's not offense. You know, the secretary recently changed the name of the department to the Secretary of War, which maybe was a more apt description of the department, but it shouldn't be our purpose.
It's funny you say that because I was watching a documentary this weekend about, you know, the 40s and 50s when we did have a Secretary of War at a time of war. And I was struck by the fact that, you know, that's the way historically it was. Let's dig into the office you're running for. What issues do you have with the way in which the Secretary of State's office is run today?
Yeah, it's interesting. It has little to do with libertarianism. It has everything to do for me with the movement for third parties and independent candidates, which just don't get a fair shake in our state. I think the current Secretary of State is a nice, gentle man. He truly is strikes me as a good person, but I think he has a blind spot, and his blind spot is the third parties and independent candidates. And I think our legislature has that too. Some might say that the legislature has it in for third parties when they raised the major party test a few years ago. But there are little things that bother me about this, just the petitioning process. It's too hard. We have six candidates that cleared the ballot this year for statewide offices, but we had seven that didn't make it, including three candidates for governor. That's just denying voters more choices on the ballot, and it's just not reasonable. I was corresponding this morning with someone who attempted to run for the state house in Goodhue County, I think, and he fell 13 votes short, or th 13 signatures short of the 500 that he needed. And instead of the office working with him, they said, you got to go to the court if you want to dispute it. Well, he looked at a lot of the signatures that they struck, and a lot of them were signed by people who were elderly. Their legibility, becomes more challenging. And it's just a shame that we don't have a other processes. For instance, Arizona has online petitioning. The state of New Mexico just last week adopted it as well. That would make the process work a lot better for everyone. It would be more efficient. It would be more secure. You'd log in your name and address, and they would know who you are, find you on the voting rolls, and say, you can sign this petition. Then I think of people with disabilities. It's awkward to come across a person who is legally blind, and you have to then fill out the form for them, which I think is a little bit disrespectful, because if they could do it online themselves, they wouldn't need the quote assistance. And we have to ask them their age. What business of it is mine to ask somebody their age? A lot of people who are just regular folks don't like being told that. So the petitioning is one problem. We have a barrier to ballot access. It's ballot access laws. Minnesota is one of 17 states that has major parties and minor parties. And all 16 other states allow those candidates, minor party candidates, to have automatic access to the ballot. Now, we wouldn't get access to the big general subsidy. As a libertarian, I don't want it. But I think we do, a party that has demonstrated that it has an infrastructure, it has a candidate who gathers at least 1% of the statewide vote. We had a U.S. Senate candidate 2 years ago. She's running again this year, who got 55,000 votes. So there is a market, there is an interest for this. We know Gallup found that 45% of the American public are politically independent, and yet we don't have a structure that enables them to have candidates that they want to vote for on the ballot.
My guest is Chip Tang, and he's running for Secretary of State as a libertarian. We're talking about why he's believes in the Libertarian Party, what he would do to change the office of Secretary of State. Let's just pull back. Your website talks about election integrity. Those are, that's a loaded conversation sometimes, I find, in depending on what audience I am addressing or where I am. If I'm with friends, it's one message. If I'm speaking to a group, it's another message. In your mind, do you trust Minnesota elections, or are there different things you would do to make them more secure?
I was asked many times when I was petitioning, did I accept the 2020 election outcome? It was, yeah, I did. Were there But I do respect the fact that people had concerns about that. Structurally, I think we have a problem when the Secretary of State is a member of one of the two big parties. He's going to have a hard time proving that he truly is independent if he's aligned with one of those parties. Let's take, for example, the convening of the legislature this past biennium. The Democrats didn't show up because they, were one vote shy because of a vacancy in one of the races. And the Secretary of State, normally a ministerial function, convenes and, declares the session has begun, but he said, "I don't find a quorum." Well, it was a case of first impression. And, arguments could have gone either way of whether or not there was a quorum. But coincidentally, he sided with his party. Had he gone with the Republicans, then he would have said, "Oh, yeah, sure, I really do trust that result." But that's an example of a structural problem we have when the Secretary of State happens to be a member of one of the two parties, major parties.
You're an attorney. When you talk about the 2020 election, do you trust the courts handled that election fairly?
Yes, I think we should hear those cases. Maybe some of them were dismissed without, they always say evidence wasn't presented. Well, evidence wasn't always heard in those cases. I'd want to hear it out. I'm not afraid of us investigating the outcomes, but it reaches a point where you just have to move forward. Who could forget the 2000 election, where we were going for months not knowing. Minnesota's had its own election challenges, the Al Franken race. He wasn't seated for months. We do need resolution.
I guess as we close here, what are the key points you want listeners to know about why they should consider supporting you? What is it that you think and hope that third parties accomplish this year in the discussion and the debate?
Well, it's not just third parties, it's third parties and independent candidates. For instance, we have a candidate this year in House District 44B. He's an independent. He was endorsed by my party, but he's running as an independent. The Republican Party did not field a candidate in that race. It's important that we have the opportunity for more third parties and independents to get onto the ballot. So by being a candidate, I want to keep talking about these issues. And one important audience member for me is our current Secretary of State. I want him to open his eyes and be flexible, listen to alternative approaches to make it possible for voters to have more choices. He talks about and is very proud that Minnesota has the highest voter turnout in most elections. Well, if he wants to ratchet that up higher, he should liberalize our ballot access laws, work with the legislature to do that. There are many voters today, I met them while petitioning, who say they don't vote because they don't want to settle for the lesser of two evils. And so they don't vote. If we gave them more choices on the ballot, they would vote. And then we'd have even more confidence in our election system.
Chip Tangen, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Blaise, thank you.
When we come back, Jay Reeves, another independent third-party candidate, he's running for state auditor. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson, your host. As I mentioned in the last couple segments, we're talking about third-party or independent candidates this week and ballot access here in Minnesota. Second guest this week is Jay Reeves. He's running for state auditor on the Forward Independence Party, and he joins me now. Jay, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate the opportunity.
Who are you and why do you want to be state auditor?
So, I'm Jay Reeves. I was born and raised on the east side of St. Paul, to some teenage parents in the 70s and 80s. I'm a guy that leads by service and dedication to others. So when I was about 31 years old, I joined the Army and without any education and things like that, without I was married and had four kids and stuff like that. So I really had a dedicated mindset to do whatever it was that I could to give back to the country in some kind of way or whatever. And then I ended up getting an education there. So I started off enlisted, went officer, got a degree, went officer, and got a analytics degree further on in my career through the University of Minnesota. And when I was stationed at the Defense Health Agency, I was able to use that degree heavily in analytics and evaluation section in creating COVID-19 dashboards, stuff like that. So after retiring in 2023, after a cancer diagnosis, what I did was I decided I really wanted to give back to the state of Minnesota in some way. And the state auditor's role came up when Julie not running again. And when I contacted her, she's recommended that it'd be a good chance for a third party candidate, an independent, to come into that role. And I've always been independent, and it seemed to fit me very well with my skill set and everything else, and the tools that I got in that bag. So that's why the state auditor. That's a little bit who I am quickly, but most definitely what I am is service-oriented person wanting to give back to the state of Minnesota and bring my different skill set to what we have here in Minnesota.
You said you've always been an independent. Obviously, one of the discussions this week on the show, but overall right now, is kind of people's frustration with the two parties. Talk about the Forward Independence Party, what you believe it stands for, and why Minnesotans should pay attention.
So the great thing about Forward Independence is that it's a combined party with the Independence Alliance Party. We joined with them last with the National Forward Party, which was initially based in New York, and so they're branching out to the different states now. And the fantastic thing about Forward Independence is that it's kind of an alliance of third party entities coming together to form, and it's not about one specific person or their ideals or their anything like that. We are an individual candidate based program, like a just the party is not stern in their political steeped ideologies. And so they're based on, as an individual, I can run on whatever it is that I want. The party will support me. They don't have any say in how I manage my campaign or anything else like that. They could provide some insights and things like that legacy wise, but that's the freedoms that I have as the Forward Independence. And I appreciate that. Some of the other independent parties and third party options don't necessarily have that. They already have, they just have their pathway built in, whereas Forward Independence is much more lenient in the things that they do. We have folks across all scales from center right to center left, some a little bit further than centers in some areas. So that's what I appreciate about the Forward Independence. And we bring in everybody from all areas of the political aspirations.
Views of the state auditor vary. Some people want to abolish the office. Some people think that the office hasn't done enough, especially in light of fraud the last couple of years. If you were elected, what are the ways in which you would, you know, focus the office, prioritize the office, which really is known for, you know, local government, governmental unit audits and oversight. What's your vision?
So my vision is getting back to the basics of what that office is actually supposed to be doing. I think we've drifted, and we've never had an independent person in that office, even though every single report that's put out at that office says independent audit. That in it is on its face isn't absolutely true. It's always partisan. And I think what we need to do is we need to get away from that partisanship and just come into it. And I think if we get back to working with our local units, entities, with our, you know, cities, counties, townships, and things like that, working directly with them and encouraging them and giving them the resources that they need and helping them out. I think that they're really struggling. When I've reached out to some of the others, I don't believe that they're feeling supported in some of their ways. And a lot of the times when they're having these reports done, they're not getting the feedback. It's an empty feedback loop, right? So it just stops. And so we have to have an open communication system. So once they put some information into the system, it's gone. It's never returned to them. They don't even know if anything happens to it after that. So we have to create feedback loops as well. So my goal is I'm a proactive person. So I want to go at this system as a proactive approach through data-driven analytics means and with an independent mindset. So that's how I'm going to approach that office. And we have to get the partisanship out of there. It's not going to progress in any way as an office with a partisan mindset in that office.
What do you think the partisan mindset has been through Auditor Blaha's term?
Too often, and it's not just necessarily from her specifically, but it's from the legislature. When she goes in front of the legislature, if you ever watched any of their episodes on there, and I call them episodes because it's like it's crazy. It's television and it's like, it's ridiculous. But the GOP goes after her for some of what she has to say. The Democrats will go after Judy Randall and thinking, and as a legislative auditor, it becomes a campaign ad for them, a quick 10, 15 second campaign ad for these politicians. And that's what I mean, is if we bring an independent person in there who doesn't have any biases whatsoever and just comes at it chasing the data and with a data approach, they can do whatever they want, but they shouldn't be saying that the person has a leaning one way or another politically. And I think that not that Julie has specifically been doing it, but I believe that the legislators that they have control of the purse strings, right? So whenever she comes to them and asks them for any money, it turns into a political event. And that's where the fight and the battle comes in.
One of the debates, and we're talking to Jay Reeves, he's running for state auditor as the Forward Independence Party. One of the debates and parts of the office has been that the office's mission is not about auditing state government. Is there, as you've looked into it, is there a role for the state auditor to not just focus on local governments, but to be more engaged in auditing state government?
Yeah, well, before 1973, they did. So in 1973, they made this shift and they made it a siloed approach. And when you do that, and you have one elected official, which you've stripped away anything that they could ever do, for the most part, any teeth that that office might have, you stripped away in 1973, and you created a secondary entity in the legislative auditor. That's a problem. And so now we have a siloed approach. And with those silos approach, they don't even talk to each other. So Julie and Judy's offices, neither one of them talk to each other. I don't understand how we can run a government when the two auditing agencies don't even talk to each other. It's ridiculous. And so without that team aspect, we need to bring that back. We need to bring in a coalition to fighting this fraud and everything else. Right now, we have these segments. And now what the legislature's done is they've decided that miraculously, everybody agrees that there needs to be an independent person, right? Right and left, GOP, DFL, they all agree, because now they've created a whole new office that says it needs to be independent. Ironically, they were supposed to already have independent people doing the auditing, but they didn't believe them, right? Because it's partisanship. So now we're going to create multi-million dollar agencies and more bureaucracy to solve a problem that should have already been solved. So we got to get back to working as a team, as a state. And I'm willing to do that for whatever administration or leadership or whatever programs that they want to put in through the legislature. I'm willing to do that. I don't know that all others are willing to do that, but I just know what I am willing to do.
As we start to wrap up here, one of the things that you highlight is cutting edge technology. Technology in government has had mixed results. One is it's been slow to be adopted. When it is adopted, it doesn't necessarily roll out smoothly. What is the technology that you believe that office needs? And what would that technology offer that the office doesn't currently have?
So right now, what they're currently using is a SAFE system, which is a data entry port. Now, I don't know what goes on the back end of it. I've asked. I believe it just goes into an Excel spreadsheet and then they clean the data. Well, that is a way that maybe it goes into a Power BI. That's antiquated. We need more systems that are actually going to go in, and we have the capabilities in government and other agencies. You know, we've had these programs in the military too, where you can use APIs and go in directly to the locations and grab the data off of their servers. And I think that the state has that capability through the MINIT, which is the Minnesota IT system. And so the state auditor's office wasn't on the MINIT system, I think, until recently. They were able, because they were in the executive branch, to not be a part of the Minnesota IT system. They had their own systems, so which was outrageous to me as well. So we need to bring in these technologies. I believe that a blockchain environment needs to be considered. These are all things that are going to cost a lot of money. People think they're going to cost a lot of money. However, my approach is to initially come in, use the resources that we have, zero cost, remanage and reimage them, which I've done in the past with the Department of Defense and the Defense Health Agency. We reimagined the current technologies that they're using by saving us money, by creating this proactive approach, saving the money, and then reinvesting that money into technologies later on, and showing that there are savings out there for our state government. We don't need to go asking for money when the money is already there. We just got to reimagine, reinvent the office, so to speak. The capabilities are there. It's in statute that they have the capability to do it. It's nothing. We just need somebody with the technical expertise to come in and help manage that system. And I'm that guy.
Jay Reeves is my guest here on Sunday Take. Jay, I know we'll follow the campaign in the months ahead, but thanks for joining me today.
Appreciate you. Thanks so much.
When we come back, this week's take. We are back on Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. This week's take is really about candidate quality, engaging the public. You know, it's June 21st, the August 11th primary and the November general election are fast approaching. And I don't know that I've had a year with so many races and so little engagement from our candidates. Friday night, there was a public television debate between Angie Craig and Peggy Flanagan. Many things struck me about this debate and dialogue, none of which are new, but more consistent than ever before. First was the lack of direct, specific answers about a vision or a plan, but rather critiques of your opponent. I think critiques of your opponent are fair. I think they're good. I've long held that you have to have an ability to contrast yourself. But you should also have your own ideas. Both parties have had a monopoly on the idea that we're the lesser of two evils or the better. Contrast that with the opening of the Obama Presidential Library this week and the optimism of 2008. The idea that there was a vision for the country. Similar to a documentary I watched this week about George Herbert Walker Bush and his pathway to leadership and president. We need a vision for Minnesota, and we need answers and ideas, and not just go along to get along with my party on both sides. We're going to have three vibrant primaries here, and we hope to have debates on this show and elsewhere. You'll hear me consistently say that we need these debates. Minnesotans deserve this, because a Friday night in summer on public television is not a highly viewed place, especially during the World Cup or a great summer night or a storm. There was a storm. People lost power. They might not be able to watch the debate. We'll keep calling for debates. I'm willing to host them here on any statewide congressional race or race of significance this fall. We'll find a way to have this discussion. Because in Minnesota, in this country, if we do not hold our candidates to discussions and debates about ideas, then we might as well fold up democracy. It's as much as part of democracy and debating ideas and free speech as anything else. So when you see a candidate, tell them you want to see him debate. And then let them know I'll host it. We'll have another week of full content. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 Monday through Thursday. We'll be back next week on the Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. Until next week, follow all of our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. Sign up there. And I appreciate you listening. Until next week, that's the take.